Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is my God. Can you hear me? Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord just one more time. Thanking and praise God for Pastor yielding the pulpit over this evening. Remember them in their absence. I thank and praise God for being saved today. Truly, this is the blessed thing that's ever happened to me. I thank God for the power of his resurrection. I thank God because God is causing my life to be conformed into his life. This is the best life that I've ever lived. There is no life second to this. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for being here in this church. Truly, this is the church that will love you to life. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I'm going to be talking about before and after the resurrection. I'm going to talk about all the things that took place before and after his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's start at verse 16. No, let's start at verse 14. Verse 13. Thank you. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this evening. Father, we ask to go before us, beside us, and behind us. Lord God, give us the word to speak to your people. Lord God, to teach them. Lord God, to give us an inspired word to go forward in your name. Amen. Amen. We're dealing with before his resurrection. And remember how the pastor was been teaching about dealing with Lazarus. Thinking about what the pastor had been teaching concerning Lazarus and how Jesus had spoke to Lazarus and how Lazarus came forth, because he is the resurrection. I thank God because the pastor was talking about how that set the stage for Jesus, for the things that were going to transpire forward, about how they will crucify him and hate him and love and all these different particulars. One of the most difficult things to understand is that when God does not come the way that you want him, when he does not come down your avenue in the street that you desire for him to come. And so when you look at the children of Israel from the Old Testament, even up until the time of Christ, in the Old Testament, he revealed to them in the book of Joel how he would come with his armies, the third chapter of the book of Joel. And so they're looking for a Messiah that would come back with his armies. But this Jesus didn't come with the armies. He came lowly, meek, and humble. But he came fulfilling all aspects of the scripture. He healed the lame. He raised the dead. The blind see. The lame walk. So all those things that Jesus did, even John the Baptist asked the question, "Are thou here, or shall we look for another?" Then Jesus quoted to him in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, "Go tell him that the lame walk, that the blind see." Think about that. He quoted 35 and 4 of the book of Isaiah. So he went right back to the scripture. But all these things led up to the crucifixion and how they hated him. I think about how we had Palm Sunday and how the week before they turned on him. They were welcoming him, "Thou son of David, thou son of David." And they put the palms out. See, when God don't do what you want him to do, don't mean that you forsake him. Come on now. When they realized that their kingdom was not going to change because of what Rome had done, Rome had ruled over Israel under the Roman Empire. So because he did not come the way that they wanted him to come, they don't want him. And I think about even how in the Old Testament you had two goats. You had the scapegoat, and then you had the one that all the sins, hallelujah, the one that was sacrificed. And how Jesus himself fulfilled both of those aspects. He became the sacrificial lamb, and he also became the scapegoat. But what do you mean? The Bible says that all the sins of the whole world were placed on him, for he knew no sin, but he became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's a powerful thing right there. I thank God for everything that he went through. Even my mind goes to the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. He grew up before them as a tender plant. He was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrow, a man of grief, and he was oppressed. All these things that he did through so he could identify with me and you as a human being. All the things that we deal through, go through on this life, he identified with us by taking on flesh and blood. And he had the will of a man. He was not no robot. He didn't come down here as a theophany, a body that God assumed without natural conception. 14th chapter book of Genesis as Melchizedek. In the Old Testament, he showed up as Melchizedek, as one of seven manifestations that he manifested himself to mankind. Think about it. But he came down here in a human form. The Bible says he was in a form of God, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Think about that. He fashioned himself as a man. The book of Philippians, the second chapter, declares it. But the humbleness of him, he didn't go around declaring who he was. He didn't go around saying that I am the Almighty God, that I'm God manifested in the flesh. He humbled himself. He made himself abased. He made himself low. But he fulfilled all the Old Testament scriptures concerning him. I'm so glad that he's mighty to save. He's mighty to save. And the scripture also says that he's able to save us to the uttermost that cometh to God by him. We think about all the things that he transpired in this man's life from the age of 30 until the time of his crucifixion, how he went around evangelizing. He evangelized, saints. Jesus evangelized. He also was a prophet, Deuteronomy 18 and 18. And he also was a teacher. Think about that. And he was the bishop and shepherd of our souls. He's a pastor also. He fulfilled all aspects of the fivefold ministry. He did it by himself and didn't need nobody else's help. So think about this. Our hope rests on the resurrection. All of our hope rests on the resurrection. Because if he had not got up out of that grave, none of us would be standing here right now. None of us. Think about it. Without the resurrection, there would be no salvation or deliverance. There would be no hope of an eternal life. Think about it, saints. So when you look at this, Jesus got up out that grave. But see, it was something that I was reading today in the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew. No, Luke 24. Luke 24 and 26. Turn with that with me real quick. Luke 24 and 26. It says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, that glory that he entered into was the glory that Adam once had. Adam had the glory that God gave him on the day of his creation. He had honor and glory, and thou didst set him over the works of thine hands. And it was given to him free of charge. Adam didn't have to pay for nothing that God gave him. Adam was the first son. Not the second son. Adam was the created son, but Jesus is the only begotten son. Jesus was begotten through Mary. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and that holy thing which shall be conceived of thee shall be called the Son of God. So the Son of God title he stood on when he was conceived. Even though in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar said, one like unto the Son of God. See, he was not a manifestation of the Son of God until he manifested himself as the Son of God. He's not the Son of God on the other side of Genesis. He did not manifest himself in the flesh until 1 and 14 in the book of St. John. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Look at this glory. Jesus had to enter into the glory that Adam once possessed, but he had to suffer for it. Let's go to Hebrews 2 and 5. Hebrews 2 and 5. Second Adam went through a whole lot for me and you, saints. He says, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. God has not placed the earth in the possession of angels. Jesus is not an angel or Michael the archangel, as some declare in another religion. Let's keep it moving. Next verse. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Next. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with honor and glory, and didst set him over the works of thine hands. First Adam, verse 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not all things put under him. That's when sin entered in. Everything that Adam had or possessed, he lost it. He lost eternal life. He lost sonship. He lost dominion over the fish of the sea, the earth, and everything that creepeth upon the earth. He lost his position. Adam fell. Next verse. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Now look at this. Crowned with glory and honor. Now look at this. Death and suffering became before his honor and his glory. He had to suffer in order to get the glory that the first Adam lost. And he had to pay that price. And he paid the price for me and you. Remember in the garden, when Adam sinned, he made them coats of skins. Something died then. It was a shadow of that which is to come. I'm so glad that he died for me. He died for you. Think about it. So Jesus, let's go to the next verse. He tasted death for every man. For it became him for whom all things, by whom all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You want to know what took place? He reconciled us back to himself. God did it in that body of Jesus. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He did it in a human body. So when he got back up out the grave, he got back in that body that what? He gave up the ghost in. Thank God for Jesus. One of the things is, everything that Jesus went through before he went to the cross, he despised the shame. And for the joy that was set before him, he despised the shame. Now look at this, the joy. How can you have joy knowing that you're getting ready to get the brakes beat off of you, hated, crucified, beaten beyond human recognition? His visage was marred beyond the sons of men. They couldn't even recognize who he was after they beat him. They beat the brakes off of him, saints. How many of y'all saw that movie, The Passion of the Christ? It was worse than that. It was worse than that. He gave his back to the smiters and his cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. But look at this. He denied himself from every aspect of what he went through his suffering. He held true to God in the suffering. He buckled down. He held true. And the Bible says there was no guile found in his mouth. He didn't speak a mumbling word, the scripture says. He opened not his mouth, but he kept his mouth shut. And look at this. Not even in his mind did he have a curse to curse his creation. His mind was towards saving us. He was locked in because he knew the eternal purpose, which purpose that Christ had for him, that God had for him. He knew the eternal purpose. So when I think about this, wow, he went through what he went through on his journey, going to the cross, and Simon of Cyrene helped him carry his cross. Simon of the Cyrene is the type of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will help you carry your cross. It'll help you on your journey, the suffering journey, the journey that you got to go through on this side. It's imminent. We all going to suffer. It's imminent. You ain't going to get past it. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You want to stop sinning? You need to welcome suffering. And not the suffering that you bring on yourself either. That's one thing for me to do it. And I got my hand in a cookie jar. My DNA's at the crime scene. And extra, read all about it. And I got the smile on my face and I did it. It's another thing for you to be suffering for Jesus. There's another thing when you're suffering for Christ. because God's glory will rest on you. God will allow you to feel his presence and his anointing in your suffering. How can that be? I'm going through, but I can feel the presence of God while I'm going through. God will not leave you by yourself. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. You got the greatest thing on this side of heaven. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Do you know what God is in house inside of us? Himself. Old Testament, he set his tabernacle down in the midst of the camp of Israel. New Testament, he comes to dwell on the inside of us. He makes us his tabernacle now. We're God's tabernacle. Then we are his habitation in the spirit. See, God dwells in the midst of his people. And when God is in the midst of his people, there's a habitation. That's why it should be love in the midst, forbearance in the midst, long-suffering in the midst, gentleness in the midst, goodness in the midst, faith and temperance in the midst. All this makes up the body. Those are the fruits of the spirit. Those things should be operating in us. And if they're not, God gonna make sure they do. If you're gonna be on this side. There's some situations that'll make you not want to be gentle. Did you hear me? There's some situations that make you not want to suffer long. There's some situations that make you want to hate. Those are tests that could come upon you. How many of y'all been in a test and that hate wanted to rise up in you? Come on now. People can do things to you to make you straight hate them. But if you love their soul, if you full of the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to hate nobody. You're not going to hate nobody. Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. While they got him tied to the cross. I was reading this morning. When they crucified you, they stripped you of all your clothes naked. Jesus was completely humble. Even with his mother watching, looking on, of the pain and the hurt and the sorrow. Think about it. Them Old Testament saints didn't realize that when he showed up on the scene, he was not coming in army form. He's coming to save. Lowly, meek, and humble. He comes to save. We got to be lowly, meek, and humble, not walking around with our heads up, nose up in the air, thinking we high and mighty. Boy, this flesh will fail you every time. You can speak in tongues and go home, and flesh want to get it in and do what it ain't got no business doing. Uh-oh, did you hear Brother Milo? He ain't no good. This ain't no good. Ask David. David had six wives before he got in trouble with Bathsheba. That wasn't good enough for him. And he got in straight trouble. You know what presumptuous has to deal with? That bold saying, I'm going to do it because I don't care what the regulations and what God's word is saying. I'm going to do it. That's what presumptuous means. I'm going to do it. Flesh will do it. Don't trust him. He said, put no confidence in the flesh. You can't trust your flesh. He'll fail you every time. Think about it. The resurrection, the power of the resurrection. There's power in the resurrection. There's power in the resurrection of the Holy Ghost that have quickened you from death to life. Think about it. Remember when you first got the Holy Ghost? I remember when I went down in the name of Jesus. And when I came up out that grave, my eyes opened up. And when God gave me the Holy Ghost, I seen things for what they are. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you something. You could be around the church all your life. Until he steps down in your soul, you do not understand what goes on in the spirit realm. You can see the good, the bad, and the ugly in the church. But until you become of the body of Christ, the church, the triumphant church, the blood washed, blood bought, until you've had your mind washed. God knows how to wash your mind and your heart. It's a real fight over here. If he can't get you in your flesh, look at this. Ephesians 6 chapter. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. First place he goes to is the loins. What does that mean, Brother Milo? That means to have control over your sexual desires. first thing he talks about. Then he talks about having on the helmet of salvation. God wants to keep your mind in perfect peace. And then the breastplate of righteousness, that your heart will be comforted and needed together in love in him. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. That love is a powerful thing. Love. You know what love would do? Love would give sin the hand. Love won't allow sin to come grab them and take them out for a journey. And the sin I'm talking about is the sin in this body right here. The sin in this body wants, it's lurking. It's like a crouching tiger looking to see when he can get loose. That's what sin is doing. He's waiting to pounce. You can't feed your flesh, saints. If you feed it, he'll do it. It's like that lion. I watch videos with people, they rescue lions and tigers and panthers and all that. Something wrong with these folk. That's a wild animal. You sitting up letting him lick all on you, you never know when he's going to put the clamp on you. These folks is crazy. This man had a hyena. You know what a hyena do? He'll eat you while you're sitting there staring at him. Alive. And that dude sitting up there went and bought him one. Something's wrong with these people's mind, I'm telling you. Wild animal. But this is a wild animal. We can't entertain this either. This is wild. This right here, this is wild. You want to know? Go in your archives and see what he done had you in. Uh-oh. Watch out. Don't turn around and say, oh, wait a minute, erase that one. Please hide that. Yeah, and throw that under the bush. Man won't forgive you of your sins, but God does. Did you hear me? Folk will bring up a stuff that you did 30 years ago, like it's present day. Two different people. They still bringing up stuff on Peter now because they want to deny the fact that God gave him the keys of the kingdom of heaven. They want to challenge the authenticity of his apostleship and that God gave him the keys. And they do that to go against the baptism in Jesus' name. It's still real and it's still right. I still believe in baptism in Jesus' name. I ain't changing. I know the change that came over me. Look at this. While Jesus was on that cross, they said all manner of blasphemous things against him. I'm telling you, that devil was after him until the time he gave up the ghost. And he was operating through people. I don't want the enemy to use me against any of y'all. Did you hear me? Because of my emotions, because of anger, anything that works of the flesh, I don't have no business letting the enemy use me against none of the saints. And it's so easy. Go to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, 16. Talk about Brother Peter here for a second. You know what, saints? They did not really understand. Jesus began to start talking to them. I'm going to read it, let y'all read it with me. 16th chapter book of Matthew. 16 and start at verse 18. I'll let him get it up here. 16 and 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Read the next verse. Next verse. Then charged his disciples. But earlier in the scripture, he asked him, who do you say I, the Son of Man, am? Peter spoke, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus said, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father only. That wasn't something that somebody was talking about, just speaking, walking down the street. That was the eternal spirit giving revelation to Peter who Jesus was. So when that eternal spirit spoke to him, he gave him that revelation. But Jesus began to tell him how he would suffer and rise to him the third day. But Peter began to rebuke him. He said, be it far from thee. And when Jesus spoke to Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou cherish not the things of God but of men. Now wait a minute. How do you go from having a divine revelation in one moment, and the next moment, you being called Satan? Because Satan knows how to slither in on your emotions easily. See, they didn't realize that the suffering Messiah had to suffer. They didn't realize it in Psalm 16 to 10. Go there for me. This is another thing they didn't realize from the Old Testament. He didn't give it to him. He didn't tell him what he was going to have to go through and what he was going to deal with. God don't always tell us what we're going to have to go through and what we always deal with. It says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. This is a psalm of David. David is speaking this concerning himself. David had hope after he died. But the Holy One, we're talking about Jesus right here. And he didn't see no corruption. How many days was he in the grave? 3 days. No corruption took place. But they did not understand the scriptures. The Bible says, then he opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. All night Christ have suffered these things and arise from the dead on the third day. But when he opened up their understanding, the next thing he spoke to them, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name beginning at Jerusalem. So not only just he give the revelation about his death, but he gave the revelation of what type of baptism that they were supposed to be performing and preaching right then. 24th chapter of the book of Luke, I'm sorry. Think about that. While Jesus was on that cross, they spit on him. Think about it. How nasty is somebody spitting in your face? Don't let them be eating greens and neck bones before they do it. Did you hear Brother Milo? That ain't good, is it? Don't let them be eating greens and neck bones before they spit on you. You got all that flavor in it. I'm keeping it real. We're going to keep it real because it's nasty. But he took all that. They spit right dead in his face. They kept provoking him. They kept provoking him. They kept provoking him. One of the malefactors, you've saved others. Why don't you save yourself? Provoking him. Now think about this, saints. If Jesus would have came off that cross, none of us would be sitting here right now. You know why? Because he would have yielded to sin, the temptation to sin. He would have been out of the will of God. He would have got out of the will of God by coming off that cross, trying to prove something to somebody. You ain't got to prove nothing to somebody. You don't have to prove how saved you are. You don't have to prove how strong you are. You don't have to prove anything. But you prove it to the devil by shooing him, by rebuking him. Now, you know you can't rebuke the devil if you've been slow dancing with him. You know that, don't you? Did you hear Brother Milo? There ain't no rebuking if you're sitting there slow dancing with him. Because he's going to look at you, please. We've been slow dancing. We've been getting it in, and you're going to rebuke me? Please. But you got to be subject to God first before you can rebuke the devil. You got to be on the Lord's side before you rebuke the devil. You can't be straddling the fence. Can't be straddling. Jesus suffered immensely, y'all. And that trail of blood all the way to Golgotha's hill, that trail of blood, think about it. That trail of blood, that blood that came falling down the cross, every drop represented all the world and the souls and all of us that would come in after the fact. His blood covered it all, covered us all. Think about it, saints. And while he was on that cross, he gave up the ghost when he was ready, not when they killed him. He gave it up when it was finished. He said, it is finished. And when he gave up the ghost, he bowed his head. He bowed his head down. Now, another aspect of Jesus Christ, he feared death. Did y'all know that? He feared death. Hebrews 5 and 7. Jesus feared death. That'll show you that that mankind that he had was straight up mankind. 5 and 7. Hebrews 5 and 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard and that he feared. Wait a minute. That took place in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed three times And I remember when Elder Ware told us about this word, hematidrosis. The sweat came down as sweats of blood. It was blood in his sweat. Because of the stress that was on him, because of death. And it was not only just physical death, it was spiritual death that he was walking into also. So spiritual death took place when he was on the cross. He said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? You want to know what took place? The eternal spirit had to come away, back away out of the body that all the sins of all of us was placed on. He was forsaken. He had the sins of the whole world on his shoulders. All of us. And not just ours alone. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. What did he do? His blood went back to all those Old Testament saints. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Enoch, Moses, Abraham. Think about all those patriarchs of the Old Testament, Sarah and Abraham. And think about Samson and Deborah. Think about all them Old Testament saints. His blood went back and covered all of them. He ain't gonna let not one of us be lost if we don't want to be lost. He covered everybody. Didn't the sisters do excellent on Sunday? God used them sisters. Yes, he did. Excellent play. Let's go to the 23rd chapter of the book of St. Luke. St. Luke 23. St. Luke 23. I'm going to give you the verse 44. 23 and 44. When they have it, say amen. I'm waiting on it. 23 and 44. That's 24. 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Now, look at this. Hebrews 9 and 26 talks about how once and in the end of the world, having put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Do you realize that from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, darkness was over all the face of the earth, and the purpose of that was because judgment was over on the whole earth. Judgment. God was getting ready to condemn the whole world. But he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He saw the blood. It pleased him to bruise him. Wait a minute. How many of y'all get joy out of whooping your children? How many of y'all get joy? You know, some of these folk out in the world got joy when they beating on somebody. They get joy out of doing that. But it pleased the Father to bruise him. The Bible says, by his stripes, the very stripes, every last stripe that Jesus got represents our healing. We can receive healing. In the Old Testament, an angel would come down once a year, and whoever stepped down in the water first got the healing. But this thing is for all of us. By his stripes, we're all healed. If you walk in it, I want to be worthy of getting this healing. I remember when the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, I'm healing you. I had COVID, and it was cute too. That thing had me looking crazy. If I showed you the picture, you'd have thought something was going on. What is wrong with you? But I'm going to tell you something. When he spoke that, that touched my heart in such a way, didn't have to go get no medication. I got up in about 2 weeks. The first week, I went back to the hustle. I was about 85%. The next week, I was 100. And been going strong ever since. And I don't say this to throw nothing on. I ain't got nobody's shot either. I ain't got no shot. Amen. I'm going forward. And I don't look crazy to nobody that do get a shot. But think about it. From the 9th to the 6th hour, darkness over all the face of the earth. Verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Think about it. Now remember when the sisters was talking about the veil of the temple being rent from the top to the bottom? Jesus Christ, in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, flesh is a veil. And remember, they placed the veil on this top of his head. And think about those things that pierced down into his skin. They mocked him, pressed it down. And then his arms and his legs were slashed by that cat of nine's whip that they whipped him with. With the flick of a wrist, they could either slash the skin or pull chunks of skin out of his body. Think about that. And they enjoyed what they was doing. He took all that for me and you, saints. His flesh is the top of the veil. And what did the veil do? This is what the veil did. Let's go to 27th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 50. Matthew 27, 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Next verse. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now, we know in the Old Testament that veil was the veil that was in the ark. I mean, that was in the tabernacle. You have the holy place, then you have the most holy place. Now, the tabernacle, in the tabernacle, in the holy place, was the ark of the covenant. And it had the mercy seat with two angels, queens, facing each other. God communed with Moses over the mercy seat. Look at this. When that veil was cut from the top to the bottom, now we can commune with God in the spirit realm. We can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain help and find grace to help in time of need. You can come boldly so you don't have to worry about the sin that you commit. If you come boldly, you don't have to worry about sin. You come boldly so you won't sin. Uh-oh, did you hear Brother Milo? I went emphatic on that one. We as Gentiles could not even approach God. Even the Hebrews couldn't approach him. But he broke down the middle wall partition between us in himself, making one body. The book of Ephesians, second chapter, declares it. Making one body, Jew and Gentile. For by one spirit are we all baptized in one body, whether it be bond or free, Jew or Gentile, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. Thank God for Jesus. Now I have access to God. I can approach him because the eternal spirit offered himself in the body of Jesus. And he presented himself in the holiest of holies, in the tabernacle in heaven, and atoned for our sins. Think about it. Let's go to the 20th chapter of the book of St. John. 20 and 17. There's a whole lot you can get by understanding what Jesus did for us. 20 and 17. I'm going to start at verse 16. This is Mary. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go tell my brother. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to stop right there. He ascended right after that. And when he ascended, he went to atone for our sins. That's the first time he ascended. The second time he ascended, when he went up in the first chapter of the book of Acts, verse 11, right before he stepped off the Mount of Olives, before he ascended into heaven forever. That's the second time he ascended. But the first time he went to atone for me and your sins. And when he atoned for it, he sprinkled his blood over the mercy seat. And before and eastward, he did that for me and you. His own blood, he atoned for us eternally. For with one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. What makes you sanctified? Set apart. Brought into the beloved. You are blood washed. Blood bought. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to tell you about another type of resurrection. There's a resurrection in the Old Testament. In the book of Ruth. You know, Ruth was a Gentile. And Boaz was a Jew. It's a type of the church. The church is made of Jew and Gentile. But he said in the fourth chapter, he said, I purchased her to be my wife. The laws of redemption. He redeemed her because he had the authority and he was a part of her lineage. He's our brother. We are the brother of Christ. We are the brother of Christ. Think about it. We are his brother. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him. Think about it. And so, that the name of the dead will not go down in Israel, Boaz redeemed her. So that Elimelech's name will continue to go forth in Israel. God never intended for none of us to die. God never intended for us to go down in the grave. But God's going to raise us up all. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to meet him. Now think about that right there. That is going to be so fast, it's quicker than your eyelids can do that. Quicker than your eyelids can do that. This mortal shall put on immortality. You ain't got to worry about your flesh wanting to go to the left when you're going to the right. The flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye will not do the things that ye would. But if you be led of the spirit, then are you the sons of God. That validates your sonship is when you're led by the spirit. Not just because you claim you're right. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. My name is on honor on the roll. But if you get caught slipping, that does not mean anything if he says, come my people. Look at this. This is going to be a separation right here. If he does the rapture call and you do not hear him and you're a part of the church, you don't belong to him. He said, my sheep hear my voice and another they will not follow. So if he says, come my people, and you sitting around looking around like, what happened? You don't belong to him. That's cut and dry right there, and that's real. That's why this is a moment by moment, day by thing. You got to deny yourself every day. We got to live in the power of his resurrection that Paul declared in the book of Philippians, that I might know him and the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection being made conformable unto his death. That resurrection has to deal with the resurrection from you, from your old life. That's a new life. My life is hid in Christ and God, and we got to stay hid in Christ and God. That's why we don't continue to walk. And we all have sinned since we've had the Holy Ghost. I'm not walking around here acting like I'm ready for him to say, come my people. But I'm going to tell you about the mercy and the grace of God. You know what God's grace to do for us? God's grace gives you opportunity to get your act together. You got to be concerned about your soul. Every day. No man knows the hour. No man knows the day. But he's coming, saints. He's coming. And when he comes, we are top of the first fruits of the first resurrection. He's the firstborn from the dead. What do you mean? He's the first one that got up out of the grave on his own accord. Lazarus, he spoke to and Lazarus came forth. The Bible says, no man hath ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven and the Son of Man which is in heaven. Old Testament, there were two times that people were translated. Genesis 5 and 29 with Enoch. 2 Kings 2 and 11 with Elijah. Both of them were translated, taken, but they were pleasing to God also. If we're going to be pleasing to God, he's going to collectively take us all at one time. Collectively. Think about it. You look up, you in the clouds, and you see him. Do you know that Paul saw things that it was not lawful for a man to utter? John saw things it was not lawful for a man to utter. There are things that God has prepared for them that love him, that these minds can't fathom. And I heard my sister talk about the tree of life. The tree of life will yield 12 manner of fruits every month. But you got to get there to get it. You got to get there to get it. That tree of life is waiting on the saints. But most important is Jesus Christ himself. We're going to see him with those nail prints in his hands. We're going to see him with the cut in the side. We're going to see it. But this mortal has put on immortality. The same body that he got, that he rose up off this earth in, he's still in that body right now. Still in that body. I'm so glad this right here is going to be changed. Do you know that the Holy Ghost, if the spirit of him that hath raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. If you full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to change. Don't come in here half full. I'm on my way to Alabama and I ain't got no more money, but I got a half a tank. You're going to be stranded along the way. Come on. And I ain't trying to be funny. You know they ain't picking you up either, don't you? How many of them are going to stop and pick you up? Unless it's one of them weirdos. Mm-hmm. You better watch out for them weirdos. Think about it. I got a question to pose to y'all. What does the resurrection mean to anybody in here that wants to answer that? What does the resurrection mean to you? Anybody? Well, I'll tell what it means. Go ahead, Elder White. Come on. Come on. It's going to happen. And you know, there's scoffers walking around talking about his coming. I'm not going to be no scoffer. You have a question, sis? Mm-hmm. Amen. And you know what the resurrection is a witness to all those that saw you when you was in your sins and then they see the power of the Holy Ghost come on you and change you. You walk in another direction. I wouldn't look at that person, look like that person, but wait a minute. You're not walking the same excess of riot. You ain't walking in debauchery. You ain't walking in lasciviousness. You ain't drinking and turning up 40 ounces. You ain't clubbing. You ain't diving out of somebody's window because you being chased by their spouse. Uh-oh, did you hear that one? None of that above. You ain't sitting, walking around talking about what they hit for, shooting dice. You ain't got no needle hanging out of your vein, sitting there looking like you in a trance. You ain't got the video played on you while you in your sin and somebody recording you. The world will never forgive you, but boy, I thank God for Jesus. And you can tell them I was once was lost, but now I'm found. You can tell them that I'm free. I've been delivered. Where you saw me before, I will never get in that place again. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. All those folk want to do is talk about 30 years ago. Well, I'll let you stay hung up on that, and I'm going to stay walking right where I'm at. But ain't he good? Don't you see what he's done for me? So when they want to go talking like that, but hasn't he changed my life? Hasn't he delivered me? Am I right in my mind? I'm clothed in my right mind. Think about it. You don't know what's walking up and down the street. I don't pick up people off the street, y'all. It have to be the Holy Ghost telling me to pick you up. Because you don't know who you're opening up the door to. Did you hear me? I care about our sisters. Sisters, y'all be careful out there. We all grown, but there's predators out there. Brother Milo's just telling y'all. Y'all got to watch what y'all doing. It might be 9 o'clock at night, I'm grown, but I'm going to tell you something. People are watching you, and God's a keeper. Just don't be the bait for the enemy. You hear me? Don't be the bait. Brothers, we got to be careful too because they snatching men too. It ain't just women. They snatching anything that got a heartbeat. Thank God for the resurrection. I remember what God brought me from. So y'all can take time and think about where God brought you from. I remember being drunk before 12 noon. Before 12 noon, I was drunk. I remember drinking Wild Irish Rose. I'm telling you what he brought me from. And drinking Bumpy Face Gin. And smoking Primos. And selling crack. And trying to smoke crack. I remember what God brought me from. And this was before I was even 21 years old. That's why I tell these young people, don't go out there in them streets. It's everything that your flesh will get you turned out with. Don't go out there in them streets. I say it all the time. I've seen young women go out there and get turned completely out. And they ain't never been the same. Young men, the same thing. Stay in the church. Stay under the blood. Stay under the blood. Whatever issues you got, God can work them out. One of the things that they did with that other goat, that scapegoat, they confessed the sins of all the people over that scapegoat. And that scapegoat was sent off to a far place. Jesus took on our sins. He took our sins and went into heaven itself to atone for us. And so when we get in sin, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how you stay under the blood. Don't get stagnated. If you don't confess your sins, you're going to stay right where you at. Think about this Old Testament, book of Job. Job was a perfect and upright man. Look at this. And Satan's walking around. And God asked him, where you going, Satan? Going to and fro in the earth, seeking who I may devour. Now look at this. In the Old Testament, Satan had the power of death. He had the power of death. So Job offered up sacrifices for his sins. See, we need to cover our children, y'all. We need to cover our children. Because when they ain't in our presence, you don't know what they're doing. We need to cover them in prayer. And look at this. Satan caused a wind to blow on all four sides of the house and to fill him on Job's children. But when it came down to Job, God told him, do not touch his soul. Old Testament, he could get your soul. He could touch you. He could kill you because he had the power of death in the Old Testament. But Jesus took that power of death from him. Matter of fact, in Revelations 1 and 18, he said, I am the first and the last. I am he that was dead and am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and death. So what happened? When did he get the keys? So when he gave up the ghost, he went down to the lower parts of the earth. Third chapter, book of Ephesians. When he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, that multitude that he took from paradise, up out of paradise, he took with him after his resurrection. That's why in the 27th chapter of the book of Matthew, the body of the saints began to show themselves in the city of Jerusalem. They got up out the grave because he is the resurrection. Then he took all the saints with him to the third heaven. 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter, 2 Corinthians the 12th chapter. Paul said, I knew a man in the body, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body. How one such a one was caught up into the third heavens. Then he declared he was caught up into paradise, a place that the righteous dead go to. We got a place that we go to when we leave here. And ain't the lower parts of the earth no longer. We ain't got to be sitting down and looking between that gulf, between those that are in hell being tormented. God resurrected the saints from that paradise and relocated up into the third heavens. Thank God for the change. And so look at this. When he says, come my people, the spirit that's in the third paradise comes to meet the body in the air. 5 and 28, the book of St. John. Marvel not that all that be in the grave shall hear his voice. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Everybody gonna come about that grave. But that's the second death I spoke of. But the first one, we are part of the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That first resurrection has power. It's eternal life. We're going to be with Jesus. Jesus is the first part, firstborn from the dead. Then you have the church that's resurrected out of their sins and walking in the newness of life. Then you have the church that is redeemed from the earth. Then you have the beheaded witnesses, Revelation 6, 9 through 12, 20 and 14. Then you have the number that no man can number out of every nation and kindred and tongue in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. Those are tribulation saints. They come through great tribulation and they come up under the kingdom gospel. The kingdom gospel will first be preached through the world, then shall the end come. Then you have the 144,000. In the 14th chapter book of Revelation, verse 3, they are redeemed from the earth during the great tribulation. Think about it. In 11th chapter, you have the two witnesses. They are killed and their bodies are left on the earth for 3.5 days. But they put torment on these people so much, after their death, they're going to be sending gifts to each other. Look at the wickedness of man. Because the two witnesses sit tormenting them with all the things that they've done to them. Think about that. But all that is a part of the first resurrection. You don't want to be a part of the second resurrection. That's where the sea give up is dead. Death and hell give up is dead. Think about it. The grave. Everything going to stand before him. And when Jesus is sitting on the white throne, at that white throne judgment, there will be no advocate going on. There will be no atonement going on. There will be no lawyer for you. There will be nothing, but everything that you have done will flash before your face as you stand before him. Then comes the real fire, the lake. That lake of fire is real, saints. It's like being dipped down in a volcano that you never burn up, but you stay there and burn forever with everybody else that's with you. Eternal. You can't get out of eternity with that one. Do you know what eternity is? That's forever. And you know what's sad? That's what the people that are dead in their sins are looking forward to right now, is the lake of fire. And I'm not saying that because I'm joying over that. This is fact. And the worst thing is to be blood washed, blood bought, and lose your soul and be like Judas Iscariot, have handled of the word of life. They touched him. They saw him. Judas watched him raise Lazarus from the dead, walk out on the Sea of Galilee in the fourth watch in the middle of the night, and then lost his soul. You've seen Jesus, but you in hell. Bishop preached a message, Jesus' friend in hell. How many of y'all remember that one? Jesus' friend in hell. He preached that. Judas was a friend of God because what God revealed to him. God gives us revelation over here, but we need to do something with it. God, open up your understanding that you might understand the scriptures. Anytime God breaks this word open, he's opening up our understanding that we might understand the scriptures. It's given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, not to walk around here with our heads down, not understanding what's going on. We are in perilous times right now. We're in perilous. It can be 6 o'clock on a Friday night, and it can be 85 degrees outside. When Brother Milo goes home, when I lock my garage door, thanks to my wife, she puts the guard on. Then we lock the garage door, and we in. I'm not saying because I'm a hermit, but there's so much stuff out there. You out hanging out, you don't know what might jump off. You know, I love my kids. I talk to my kids. I told my kids, I said, stay out the malls. Because folks are shooting and doing all this at the mall. My girls is raised in church. They out at the mall one day, and these girls want to jump on them for nothing. That's the world we live in. You ain't got to be messing with nobody. Who you looking at? This is the craziness that we deal with. I told you about how I drive my car, and they was casing me one day. It's just a car. But this is the world we live in. These people are looking for opportunity. We are in perilous times. They're looking for prey. They're praying. You go to the grocery store at night, sisters, if you see a van by your car, don't go to it. This is the stuff that's going on. in our society don't talk about it much. They don't talk about it much. This sex slave trade is real. They're looking for newcomers. They don't want the ones they already got. They're looking for new people. That's what's going on out here. But you know what? God will protect us. Let's just be wise in this day. Just be wise. I got to watch what I do. You don't know what's walking around. You don't know who's walking around. But I'm going to tell you something. We got power. If one thing we're going to have to do is power up, saints. You know why? Because in Jesus' day, you think about all the multitudes of people that he healed, but think about how many he cast demons out of. They put medical terms on these people. I seen a guy one day, I'm not lying. I was going to my client's house, and he's walking catty-cornering across the street. You know, I'm walking catty-cornering just like this to him, to my brother right here. I'm going to show you what he was doing. Walking across the street like this, with his hand pointed down. When I looked him in his face, he was gone. I knew they had to know him in the neighborhood. You don't know what drug these folk then got a hold of. These drugs are for real. They'll try to lure you in, man. You ain't never smoked a joint before. They ain't gonna tell you that they sprayed it with Raid and everything else. You see how strong this stuff is? You could come to the stoplight 10 minutes later and you still smell it. That's the stuff these people are doing. I just want to try it once. You tried once. I know a guy that went 20 years on a trip after trying something for the first time. All it takes is one time. You ain't never did nothing. You green and you're going to try it. You don't know where you might end up at. You wake up 20 years later talking about, how did I get here? This is the stuff that's going on out here, saints. We just got to redeem the time and be wise. I mean, I'm not the pastor. I'm just concerned about the people of God. My concern is about the people of God. I'm concerned about the people in the world. But young people, I'm telling y'all, please don't go out there. Young men, young ladies, y'all don't know how good y'all got it. You don't know how good. And sometimes, you might think, being in my mom and daddy's house, I can't do this, I can't do that. You better be thankful to God what you can't do. Because let it be told, some of this old heads can tell you some of the stuff that God brought us out of from our youth. I told y'all before I was 21, I was doing all that. I remember when I first drank my first 40 ounce. I was 14 years old. I'm not proud of that. Think about it. And got to the point that it took God to deliver me. Because I was in an alcohol program at 17 years old. I couldn't stop drinking. And got out and 3 days later, I was drunk again. They couldn't stop me, but God gave me the Holy Ghost. And when he gave me the Holy Ghost, I got that new wine in me now. I got that new wine. I ain't talking about that new Wild Irish Rose. Me and my brother was in the store one day. I said, oh, they got, what flavor was that? Elder White. I said, oh, they got Peach Mad Dog out now, huh? It's been that long. I didn't know they had Peach Mad Dog out, but I wouldn't sit up here thinking, man. Man, I never tried that one. Woo. Man, boy. And the Lord knows, you know, I ain't perfect. Maybe I just get, no, I'm not waking up them demons. You don't resurrect them demons. Whatever God brought you from, leave them where they at. Because if you go back, he's going to get 7 more worse than the other ones. And you thought you were getting it in then, it's going to be real after that. But I'm so glad that this resurrection is so powerful. I'm so glad that his flesh was a veil. His flesh allowed me to be able to come close, to be able to approach him, to be able to come in his presence. Whatever you got ailing you, when you come in the presence of God, it has to stay at the door. Do you know that? Have y'all seen saints come in here and they might be having a hard time? The Holy Ghost get on them. They don't look like they got anything, no issues going on in their body. Because when the Spirit of God move on you, I'm going to tell you something. Whatever ailment you got has to stay still when the Holy Ghost moves. I heard about preachers that had ailments, but when God got up and used them, that ailment was left at this door. Don't tell me what the Holy Ghost said. The things that we go through on this side is just an usher to get us to him. Don't look at suffering as your enemy. Suffering, if you suffer for Christ, will help present you to Christ as the bride. It'll help you get to the point where that fine, clean wine, white linen robe that we all gonna get in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelations with no stains and no wrinkles will be there right there with Jesus. Think about it. We got to get there. Blessed is he that is called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Many are called, but few are chosen. Am I in the book? I want to be a part of that chosen generation. That royal priesthood. You know how royal that is? This is our profession. Salvation is our profession. Just like doctors, they come in there with their ties and their suits on. You know, you watch those sports shows, you notice they all got their shirts and their ties on. Think about it. It's their profession. This is our profession. Not walking around like we snooty. We walk around in the boldness of the Holy Ghost, being a light and a witness. Doing what? Compelling men to come to Christ. I'm talking to myself. These people need to see something different. They got to see something different. If they still see me, something ain't right. I got to pray about my humanism, me being humorous. Lord, help me. Then sometimes I can see stuff and it just comes just like that. I don't plan it, but it just happens like that. But I got to be careful. Lord, help me. I need your help. Amen. Amen. Before and after his resurrection, I thank God before and I thank God after. And I thank God for what we have waiting on us. That resurrection. That resurrection that changes everything. It's going to be just one moment. And don't let the scoffers discourage you. He said he was going to return all this time. You just look for him. Just look for his return. How you look for him? Being steadfast. He that put his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom. His kingdom comes with power and joy and peace and victory and long-suffering and mercy and gentleness. That's what God is all about. The devil's ready to cut you off. He got his nerve. Biggest sinner of all want to cut somebody else off. He got his coming. Y'all know that, don't you? You know he got his coming. And boy, he going to have a special torment waiting on him. I hope it's a whole lot, too. I hope his torment is so severe, he going to pay for everything he did. You know that? He going to pay from the time, even the fallen angels, stupid enough to listen to him. How you going to sit up here and listen to somebody else that was created just like you? And then y'all get booted out at the same time. Now you're mad at God. Do you know this whole struggle, this whole fight between good and evil is about our souls? It ain't about the houses that we live in and the cars we drive and the clothes we wear and how fine and cute we think we are and the type of job and how much money we make. Do you know this whole fight is about our soul? That's what this whole war is about. It's our soul. The devil don't care about what he don't have, what he has. He cares about us. That's what he's going after, us. Because we mean that much to him. Because we're in a place that he can't never get back to. Do you know the devil can't repent? Do you know he can't ask for forgiveness? Think about if the devil got a chance to take one of y'all places, he wouldn't even ask y'all if he could. Y'all remember that movie, Quantum Leap, where this man would jump into different characters? Boy, the devil, if he had the opportunity, he would jump right into your body and push you off if he could repent. And I'll say this, and he also know what church to go to repent to and get right with. That's why it's so important we stay in the church triumphant. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Is there any at the sound of my voice that have not received salvation? Salvation is open for you, and it's for us all. It's a promise. The Holy Ghost is a promise, and it's a promise by God. All we have to do is be consistent. He has no pleasure in the soul that draws back. The Bible says the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If you seek it for the Holy Ghost, you know what I said to myself? I didn't know nothing about seeking God for the Holy Ghost. I didn't come from the church. I just said in my mind, if it takes from me, from the time now until Jesus come, for me to seek for the Holy Ghost, that's what I'm going to do. My mind was already made up. Do you know, after the third day,